is a reminder again, this is our oikos. The people that God has placed into our lives that we do life with. It doesn't mean everyone in your oikos is someone that you just love hanging out with. You're stuck next to the person in school at the desk next to you. Your cubicle is next to someone that you would have necessarily said, God, please place this person in my life. But they're there. And God is supernaturally strategic in who he brings us in contact with. Opportunity to be his ambassadors, to be people of influence. I want to be your ambassador, your representative to the people in my world who need you so very much. These are the people I'm investing in. These are the people I'm looking for opportunities to share my life, more importantly, God's great news with them. And this is the wild thing. When we begin to pray, it's amazing the opportunities that God just opens up right in front of us.
Good morning, High Desert Church. Let's stand on our feet. Let's worship the Lord together today. He's worthy of our praise. God is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. Let's believe him for more today. Oh, just one word. You calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word. The darkness has to retreat. Just one touch. Just one touch. I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see.
Faith arise.
next to you. Welcome to the church today. Take a seat and turn your attention to the screen.
Your joy is not conditional on circumstances or feelings in the moment, but it's rooted deeply in the person of Jesus.
Joy isn't some fake, painted-on smile that we wear when life is actually really tough and pretend to be happy. Joy is the reminder that despite our circumstances, we have much to be thankful for in the person and the work of Jesus.
Joy, newfound citizenship. You are in God's kingdom, and you have this access to your king, and your king is more powerful than any king on earth.
You understand? The Apostle Paul here, sitting in prison, said, listen, this isn't about me. It's become an opportunity so that the gospel would advance, so that those who would not have been reached are now being reached.
Hey, good morning, High Desert Church. How are we doing this morning? Well, we're glad you're in the house. We're doing things a little bit differently today, and I want to kind of help you prepare for different, okay? So you'll notice we got our joy board down front. There's already some of you that know what to do. We're going to take those sticky notes on your bulletins and stick them on there as the service goes on, but let me explain how we do that, all right? So what we've always done is we always kind of teach through a book or a series, and we just move into the next one, right? We just kind of move from series to series. So today, we're going to pause, and we're going to look back at Philippians and what God has been teaching us, and we want you to respond to that. This is called a response service. So our service is going to look like this. We're going to just kind of have it in three different sections. You're going to hear from three different speakers, kind of looking at three different parts of Philippians. You're going to hear testimonies. We're going to have music through each section. And so it's going to feel a little bit different than normal, but what we want you to do is engage. And so while you're kind of listening and thinking back through this series and what God has been teaching you, what we want you to do is use some of these prompts, or maybe just on your own, just what has God been teaching you? For me, it really is tied into Philippians 2:14 that says we're just supposed to do everything without grumbling or arguing. And I don't know about you, but man, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And so what I put on my sticky note is I wrote the word whining, drew a circle around it, and an X right through it. Mike, no more whining, all right? That's for me. And you get to do whatever God has put on your heart, but that's what we're doing today. So here's the thing. I don't want you just randomly coming up, but whenever we are singing a song, and everybody's standing, get out of your seats, come down as God kind of prompts you to write something on a sticky note, come and put it on the board. Let that be part of your praise to God, but share that because, you know, you'll come up and you'll get to see what other people have been learning as well. So again, hopefully that makes sense. As we're singing, you can come put those on the board. And so anyway, that's what we're doing today. Let me pray for us that God would use this service to remind us of what he's been teaching us in the book of Philippians and continue to work in our hearts. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, a man who had every right to grumble and argue. A guy who had every right to have no peace, to be discontent, to have no joy, and yet he was full of joy and peace and contentment and patience, God, because you were at work in him regardless of his circumstances. So thank you for the things that he wrote to that church long ago that we can still learn from today. Lord, remind us as we work our way through this service what you are impressing on our hearts, how you want us to live out joy before a watching world so that we might be a testimony of your grace in this world we live in. So God, we pray for your blessing on the service and we ask for it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to the stage, Pastor Reggie.
Hey, hey. Well, good morning, HDC. Welcome to church. If you don't know me, my name is Reggie. I'm the student director here at our Victorville campus. I have the privilege just to share a few words with you. And like Pastor Mike just said, it's a little different this weekend. It's Respond Weekend. We want you guys to engage a little bit. So if you have your Bibles or you have a digital device that you can get there quickly, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 3-7. It will be on the screen as well. But I want you guys to help me out, all right? Junior high, high school students, if you're in the room, we do this on Wednesdays. So do me a favor, help your parents out. When I actually prompt you guys, I'm gonna need you to help me read, all right? So this is how it's gonna go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 reads like this. I thank my God every time I, what church? What does it say? Remember, very good. Remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with Joy, very good. Now, there's a big sign that says joy right here, okay? Now, I want you to read that one more time as if you were gonna send that to a text and you need to emphasize that with not a little J-O-Y, but a big J-O-Y to emphasize how Pastor Paul is actually speaking in here, what he's actually saying to the church in Philippi. Here it is, one more time. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with
joy.
There you go, we got it now, HDC. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. I know we know this verse. Someone has it on a t-shirt, someone has it on a coffee mug, but it reads like this, that he who began a what? Good work in you will what? Carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way, Paul goes on to say, about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you what? Share in God's grace with me. Church, what we see here in this passage, we see Paul's pastoral heart for his people. But what we are recognizing is this. We're recognizing the joy of sharing in God's grace. We're recognizing the joy of sharing in God's grace. And if you're anything like me, when I think about recognizing the joy of sharing in God's grace, I'm thinking about this moment right now. I'm thinking about you guys being here, sharing in this moment, because the truth is you could have been anywhere this morning. You could have been anywhere this weekend, but you chose to be here as a church family, recognizing, celebrating, sharing in God's grace together. If I could, like I said, it's Engage weekend, man. Let's have some fun. If I got any junior hires in the room, raise your hand and keep your hand raised. Junior hires. If there got any high schoolers in the room, raise your hand. Keep your hands up. If you are currently lovingly parenting a junior high or high school kid, raise your hand. Okay. If you once were a junior high or high school kid, raise your hand. Oh my goodness, look at that. That's everybody in the room. Put your hands down. So here it is. Everybody in this room knows how important it is to invest into the lives of the next generation. In what we're talking about and what it is, the joy of sharing in God's grace, then we know what it is to have the right people around them, doing life together, community together, fellowship together. If we're talking about partnering in the gospel, like Paul said, to have the right leaders, to develop, to teach this next generation what the love and joy of God's grace really is. When I think about what it means to share in the joy of God's grace, I think about the students that got baptized right over here and the testimonies that I get to hear of what it means for them to declare their faith in front of everybody. I think of all those young adults, if we're looking at partnering in the gospel, those young adults that have recently graduated over the last couple years during a pandemic and have stepped out in faith to invest into the lives of this next generation. I'm thinking of those volunteers that show up every Wednesday, week after week. And if Paul says, man, every time I think of you, I have joy. They put in their time, their resources to invest in your kids, your students. Just like Paul's pastoral heart, man, I'm overwhelmed with joy because of that. And every one of you that just had your hands up, someone in here needs to hear this. If we're talking about joy and sharing in God's grace, here it is. Don't be consumed or discouraged of where you're at currently. Think about where you're going. Whatever stage of life you're in, have joy. Junior hires, wherever you're at right now, have joy knowing that the work that God has started in you, he will be faithful to complete it. High schoolers, wherever you're at right now, if we're talking about joy, don't think about where you are, think about where God is taking you and being confident that the work he started in you, he will be faithful to complete it. Parents, raising kids, raising students, have joy knowing that the work that God is doing in and through you, he will be faithful to complete it. All of you in here, you might have kids that are already grown, they're already out. Whatever stage of life you're in, and you can look back in life, remember and have joy thinking the work that God started, he will be what, church? Faithful to complete it. Church, we have a lot of awesome stories here at HDC of people who have the confidence to know that God is working in their lives. Some awesome people here that want to share their stories with you. So do me a favor, go ahead and turn your attention to the screens.
All right, Devin and Andrea, thanks for hanging out with me for a few minutes just to kind of share your story and what God's been doing in your life. Devin, I want to start with you. I know you guys are pretty new to the church, and really when you really connected with it, it was in the midst of a pretty tough season of life. And if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. I think in the beginning, what drew us to the church was kind of our history with the church prior to our relationship. And then at the time we came, it was a pretty dark patch in our relationship, and the church seemed as though it was the primary source of help and hope for our relationship. From that, it's ironic looking back now, you know, reading scripture, it makes sense why we weren't clicking so well. And then again, kind of referring to scripture, I see that had we not gone through it, I definitely wouldn't see the value of it, because we wouldn't be where we are right now. And so I definitely think that that's what drew us in, was just, and then to think there are many relationships that can relate, you know, just one of those things where we're not clicking and we recognize there needs to be something more than what we're putting out, and came to the church.
Yeah. So Andrea, tell me what the church means to you. I mean, we've kind of been talking about joy, and one of the things I know for like the Apostle Paul, you know, like he said, you know, he was very appreciative of the church and their partnership in the gospel and how that brought him joy. But, you know, how has the church brought you joy?
It's very hard, because especially in those moments, you don't feel like you could find joy in those times. And I genuinely got tired of doing it alone. And it's hard to do it alone, and no one says you have to do it alone. You shouldn't have to do it alone. God is always with you. God should be taking every battle. But going to the church has just brought joy, because I have been held accountable. I have been helped. I don't have to face those problems alone. There are others who will pray for you. There's others who will want the best for you.
Yeah.
And it's a genuine love. It's so fulfilling. Mm. And so the church has brought joy to me and to my family, I would say, by just keeping us accountable.
Yeah.
And really being there and taking the point to recognize us, to say hi, to go out of your way when it doesn't have to be done, because those little things do go a long way. Hmm. And it really means a lot. Yeah.
So fill in the blank. Joy is, you can start, Devin. What is joy to you?
Joy is finding peace after struggle, finding that you can come out on top of a struggle. And I think that, referring to scripture, I believe it's Philippians 3, in that you may not understand why in the time, but in time it will all gradually make sense. And that is where I think joy absolutely comes from for me.
How about you, Andrea?
To me, joy is HDC. Because I have found a home. In HDC, I have found love, and I have found joy through everyone's help, through everyone's accountability. My joy is with HDC.
Yeah. Well, it's brought me a lot of joy just watching God work in your lives, and it's been a pleasure, really, having you a part of our church family. So thanks for coming and sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It's the best family.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It is awesome to see God work in the lives of our people. And let's stand to our feet as we have been recognizing, sharing in God's grace. I just want to remind you, you are more than welcome to come to the front, put your sticky notes on the board just in the middle of this song at some point. But we want to sing together. We want to celebrate God's grace together. So let's sing. Let's worship.
Strangers, neighbors, our blood is one.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, having have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I want you to focus on those verses with me for just a second. Thank you, Landon, for reading that. Philippians 2, 1 through 11, what we just read, is the core of the book of Philippians. And it's really the core of joy. There is no joy without Jesus. Amen? And so what we want to encourage you, next fill in the blank, is we want to remind you of the joy of remembering Christ's servanthood. The joy of remembering Christ's servanthood. There's two things in two ways I want you to think about. First, I want you to think about Christ. Why does he have the name that's above every name? Why is it that one day every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Why does he have such a great name? It's because Christ joyfully served us, first of all, by becoming one of us. He took on humanity for our sake. He served us by becoming one of us. Then we read in Philippians 2 that he didn't just serve us by becoming one of us. He joyfully served us by dying for us. Now, who does that? Who dies for someone else? Well, someone who loves another person very much. And the cool thing about this is that Jesus' death is sufficient because, you know, when he took on our humanity, then he went about living the life that we were all supposed to live, but haven't. Scripture tells us that Jesus never sinned, and because he never sinned, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ joyfully served us. He became one of us. He died in our place. And that's why God has exalted him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. But here's the thing. I don't want to wait till one day. I think we ought to do that today. I think we ought to give him the praise he deserves today. I think that's what gives us joy in remembering how he served us. And so let me encourage you, one way you can do that as you walk out of this building even today, and as you go to work or you go to your class or you go wherever you go this week, and it's this. Jesus Christ, by the way, is still serving us joyfully today, even in heaven, because he's sitting at God's right hand and he's making intercession for us. But I also just want to encourage you to think about this. Who can I joyfully serve like Jesus has served me? Or maybe even a better question is this. Who will I choose to not joyfully serve today? Is there anyone in your life that you shouldn't joyfully serve like Jesus joyfully served you? Remember, he went to the cross for you. So what will you do for those that God has put in your life to express his love? I think we ought to ask ourselves, who in my life needs love today? I think we ought to ask ourselves, who in my life needs compassion today? Who in my life needs help today? Who in my life needs prayer today? Who in my life needs a kind word today? Needs forgiveness today? Needs a gift today? A smile today? Someone to listen to them today? Someone who just needs the truth? Someone who needs counsel, guidance today? Who can I joyfully serve today so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's how I think we need to remember the joy that Christ had as he served us. And we ought to take that joy into the world by serving them the way he served us. So as we sing this next song and we think about the beautiful name of Jesus, let's just think about his beauty inhabiting our lives as we go to the world to serve them as he served us.
Amen. Would you stand to your feet with us?
buried beneath my rebellion, lost without a hope of redemption, blind to my need for a savior, hope but God, crushed by the weight of my failure, living the lie I created, digging my grave without knowing, hope.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen. You'd be seated. You know, when I was learning to drive, I learned pretty quickly that we tend to steer into or towards what we look at. And if you're a parent or have been a parent teaching other humans to drive, you know that fear very well. There's not a mailbox that's safe with a new driver, right? Yeah, or trash can. Yeah. Even now, I find myself at times, especially at night, if I'm not careful, my eyes drift into the headlights of oncoming traffic. Now, not my car, but I find myself focused on the danger coming at me so often that it takes over what is before me. If I'm on an unfamiliar road, I will find myself maybe looking around me, trees off to the side, or looking for things that might dart in front of me, and I'm not focused as much as I should be on the drive ahead. The things that we look at tend to be the things that we drive toward. I think in this passage here that we just heard read, we get to Philippians 4, and the Apostle Paul reminds us that in the same way, the things that we think about tend to direct the direction of our lives. That often the things that seem to take precedence in our mind, the things that we dwell on, the things that we find ourselves continually reflecting on, they tend to steer our lives and they rob us of the joy that we find promised to us. And I wonder today what those things are in your life. What are the things, the oncoming traffic, if you will, the things that maybe lurk in the shadows just off the shoulder of the road of life that you seem to find yourself dwelling on, worried about, pondering on? See, Paul here, he comes in this last section and he tells us to think on these things, right? The noble things, whatever is right and pure and lovely, the things that bring honor to him, the things that we find in his word, the person, nature, and work of Jesus, those are the things he tells us to think on, to dwell on, that our thoughts would be consumed with those things rather than other things. And yet, I would imagine that if we're all honest here today, those are not the things that we often put before us. That you and I spend most of our time staring into the headlights of what might be or what seems to be falling apart around us. Our social media feeds are filled with other things that distract us from these types of things. The conversations that we have with others are often not these types of things. And yet, here we are again and again wondering why we struggle to find and live with peace in our life when it seems to be so readily promised throughout God's word. And the truth is that the peace that he promises us comes through what Jesus has done for us. That the light that we should be focused on is not that of the oncoming traffic that seems to always find itself coming our way, but the light that is Jesus, who has given his life for us so that we might not have to worry about those things. He tells us that if we guide our thoughts, if we dwell on these types of things, that the God of peace will be with us. And that is the promise that Jesus made for us, that he would be with us even to the end of the age. And so as we sit here today, man, can I just ask, what are the things that you're dwelling on? What are the things that you're thinking about over and over and over? Worried yesterday, all yesterday about today, and yet here we are, we made it. It's here. And are they the things that he has asked us to dwell on? Because he is good. And we can know the joy, right? We can have joy in knowing. We can have joy in knowing the God of peace. Would you turn your attention to the screens for us, please?
All right, Mike and Heather, thank you for hanging out with me and just sharing what God's been doing in your life and with our church. So, Heather, tell us in summary fashion, it's been, what, 16 years or so. So, yeah, tell us what's been going on with cancer and your battle and all that.
First diagnosed in 2006 with a brain tumor, and I was given 6 months to live. And I had treatments and fought for 10 years off and on. And then, by miracle, the cancer was gone. And then I was having headaches, and in August of 2021, I was diagnosed again with the brain tumor, returning with a secondary tumor on my spine. And it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But we did treatments, and we fought. And this time, we were more plugged in with the church. We had been attending then for, 13 years. Church members, small group leaders, just, you know, regular attendance. Yeah. And this time I was listening with my heart and my ears, and I just kept praying for God to show me in this season of our life what I'm supposed to do with this. Yeah. And I took my Bible with me, and I'd read my Bible, and I would talk to people during treatments and chemotherapy. Because chemotherapy was a little different during COVID and stuff, because you couldn't have a lot of loved ones, you know.
Right.
There's a lot going, it's a little different. And I would pray with people, and I tried to use the focus of what I was going through, shift my focus on what God wanted me to do and how my oikos and our small group would perceive that. And I figured actions to how I'm dealing with this is the best way to glorify God. And what can I do?
Right.
So be an example when other people are going through different seasons, whether it's illness or marital issues or, you know, financial, anything, you know. And it's been pretty amazing. And it's just been the church, you know, reaching out to the church and saying, this is what I need. You guys all checking on me and praying for me and text messages and cards. And I can't even tell you how that felt.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. Kind of like you get out of it what you put into it, and that support system. And then I had an episode where I passed out, hit my head. I was dehydrated. I ended up in the hospital. Yeah. They kept running tests, MRIs, and CAT scans. And all of a sudden, the cancer's gone again. Like, it hit right out of me. I don't know. And here's the second miracle in my life.
Wow.
So now we're at a new season where we're just, you know, what are we going to do with this and how we're going to use it to glorify God?
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. And I know there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
I know you guys came into our study in Philippians having really lived through a lot of the things that we've been talking about. But Mike, just, I don't know, from your own perspective, what are some of those, I don't know, key truths or scriptures or whatever that really stand out to you?
Sure. As we were going through this, I was really hit by the fact that Paul maintained his attitude of joy and was encouraging others to have that attitude of joy no matter the circumstances. And it was a conscious thought on his part to maintain that. And you know, I watched my wife go through what she did, and I was always thinking, man, if she can deal with what she's going through with the joy that she is, I've got to find it somehow in me to do the same. And so I was focusing myself on trying to maintain that level of joy. And after a while, God changed my heart. And my heart became as joyful as I, in my mind, was trying to be. And so that's just really resonated with me throughout this time, was if you try to be joyful, and you think about being joyful in your circumstances, God will change your heart so that you are joyful in those circumstances.
And it becomes almost a habit.
It just comes out.
It's a routine, and definitely.
Guys, honestly, thank you for sharing that. But you know, just thanks for just being an illustration and an encouragement to me. Watching you guys go through this, it's been an encouragement to just see the joy of the Lord.
All glory to God.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. You.
All right.
What a beautiful picture of keeping your eyes on Christ despite the circumstances that you face in life. I think I just love how much they were encouraged by the people around them in their small group and in their church, the text messages, the prayers, just the joy that was around them from others that were helping them keep their eyes focused on Christ as they together encourage one another to stay focused on Christ. I can tell you just in my life, some of the deepest, darkest, most difficult moments have always been the people of the church that brought me the most joy, that brought me the most encouragement, that put my eyes back on Christ, that helped me to stay grounded in the faith when things felt like they were falling apart. And I know that that can be true for you, and I believe that that is what they were encouraging you to do just in that testimony, to stay true, to stay faithful, to trust in the Lord, to put your eyes on Him despite what you may be facing in life. Amen? So that's the encouragement today. That's the takeaway from that, to fix your eyes on what is true. And we're going to sing one more song together just as we focus on this topic of joy. We started this entire series, I think, way back in September with this song. And I think it's just kind of an anthem for this series, that there is joy in this house. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in His presence. There is joy in who God is, because He has changed us. Amen? So let's sing it together. Let's worship. Let's enjoy His goodness. There is joy in this house today. God who is God. We worship the God who walks. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. As He opened the prison door, He parted the raging sea. Oh my God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. The Lord sing praise. Only
There's joy, right? There's joy because of what Jesus has done. And I'm wondering, maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know that same joy. You don't know this Jesus that we've been talking about and singing about and just giving praise to you about. And it's pretty simple. Yeah, it's as simple as ABC. You just got to admit that you're a sinner, that you're broken, that you need a Savior. And then B, you got to believe that Jesus is that Savior that God has given for you. His death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead provides you forgiveness of sins, everlasting life. Can you believe that? And then C, if you can do that, then choose. Choose to commit your life to Jesus. And all I can tell you is his joy will come into your life. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. What a good time for us to reflect, to remember, to respond, God, to what you have taught us, what you have done for us. God, we thank you. And so, Lord, even as we go into this next week, we want to go as people that represent you well. We realize that joy, your joy in us is our strength, but your joy in us is the witness that our world needs. And so God, may by the way we respond to the circumstances and the people in our lives, God, with joy that you would be the one that they see in us. So God, we thank you. We thank you for this day and for this privilege that we've had to worship you in this way. So God, dismiss us with your blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just remind you of a couple things as you're going. Turn in those welcome forms. Let us know how we can be praying for you. If you brought food, you can drop it off at the table outside. You can still bring them next week, and you can still sign up to serve, so check that out. And then don't forget all the things that are coming up in the life of our church. We gave you a calendar so you wouldn't forget. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.